Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
And we welcome you to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
On this podcast over the years, we've interviewed people who have had what's known as glioblastoma multiforme stage 4. It's a fast-growing and aggressive brain tumor, and Corey, to the best of my knowledge, all of them are still alive today, aren't they?
As far as I know, absolutely they are, yes.
Yeah, I think I went through the list a couple of weeks ago, and I think we interviewed about 20 people. And they're all alive. Joining us from Nova Scotia, Canada, to tell the story about her husband's brain tumor is Alicia Foster. Alicia, thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having us, or me, our story.
Yeah. Your husband, Jimmy, was he in good health
prior? He's my boyfriend.
Oh, he's your boyfriend, not your husband.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I got to correct that. Your boyfriend. Okay. Yes. Was your boyfriend in good health prior to his diagnosis?
He was in good health up until about 3 months prior, I believe, to his diagnosis. He was seeking medical attention and being treated for sinus infection, vertigo, all of these things. And nothing was helping, and he got extremely sick, was losing weight, nauseous, and then was actually taken to Edmonton from Grand Prairie, where they did MRIs and did an emergency surgery and found that it was glioblastoma.
Wow. That must have been a shock to both of you.
Well, I wasn't in the picture at this point, so family and no, I wasn't. So I came in and later on in the diagnosis, but it was definitely a huge hit to them and to him, and just shocker and scary.
Take us.
What were they saying his prognosis was?
They gave him 13 to 18 months.
13
and 18. That was in 2018.
Wow. Okay.
Take us through some of the things that, some of the issues that he's gone through over that period.
Well, his first dealing with it, he did really well with his standard of care treatment. So he went, had his surgery, and after his healing and recovery from that, they did radiation. So about 35 rounds of radiation. And at that point, he had moved back to Nova Scotia because he had more of like a support system here with his parents and family here. So he did 35 rounds of radiation and 6 rounds of temozolomide, which is like a 5/23 chemo. And then after that, he was having stable scans up until December of 2021. They saw something in a scan and they thought it might be radiation necrosis. But then over Christmas, he started experiencing like really bad headaches and just the same kind of feelings that he was having in 2018. And January, I think maybe 7th or 8th, he went back to emergency and there was regrowth, so reoccurrence of glioblastoma.
No, you said December of 2021. Did you mean December of 2020 and then move forward to January?
Oh, sorry, yes, December of 2020, yes,
right.
Sorry.
Okay, and then January, there was radiation necrosis.
Yes, that's what they thought in December they thought radiation necrosis, mm-hmm. And in January it showed new tumor growth, so a reoccurrence.
Wow.
So what's, what goes through his head then?
Well, at that point, like, it was really scary. We were together at that point. We had been for a boat for maybe half a year. And all along he had been doing a Rick Simpson oil. He was told about it when he was diagnosed. A friend had kind of mentioned it and he ordered it online. And, so at this point when they told us there was a reoccurrence, I was involved and I was like, okay, what are we going to do? Because we need to fight this. We need to throw the kitchen sink at this. We need to figure out everything we can. And he was totally on board and willing to try whatever I found. So I had, once we found out about the reoccurrence, called Corey. And I was brand new to this, no idea what I was talking about. Send her a picture of what Jimmy had been taking. And she's like, yeah, that's a single strain. Like, it's not enough. He's not taking enough. It needs to be more. So we kind of talked about how I would get it and everything. And then I hung up from her and I spoke to my sister who, they say everything happens for a reason. My sister's daughter, my niece, was diagnosed with a Wilms tumor when she was 4 years old. And she began doing a lot of research on cannabis because her daughter had gone through a maintenance chemo. Mm-hmm. So she was like, well, chemo, it's scary for a four-year-old to have chemo. Like, what is going to happen in the future? Yada, yada. So she really started looking into cannabis and ended up in contact with a lady, Mandy, who Corey knows well and who has, Corey has had great success helping Mandy's daughter. Mm-hmm. And Mandy has been our go-to since that day that I contacted her, and she's helped us and pushed us and gave us motivation. And her daughter's story is our biggest motivation and to just keep going with this. So we got on the right oil. He began again with temozolomide, no more radiation. And everything is working. So right now everything is shrinking.
That's fantastic.
It's interesting, you know, Alicia, with the temozolomide, Dr. Manuel Guzman, who is best known for his research into brain tumors and different ways of healing them, i.e. go straight oil, go high CBD, go high THC, do it in combination with chemo, etc. But what he really focused on was glioblastoma, and where he saw the best success was with that drug in conjunction with cannabis oil.
Yeah, I've read that too.
So bring us up to date on how your boyfriend Jimmy is doing now.
He's doing well. So I sent Corey a image of the MRI that was done, I believe, in April. And you can see the tumor in his parietal, mm-hmm. I don't even know how to say the lobe, anyway, of his brain. And it is taking up, it looks like, majority of the right side of his brain, the inflammation, tumor, scar tissue, everything. And now it's tiny. Like, it's gone down to where, like, you have hope again.
How much does he take? Sorry, Corey.
Yeah, go ahead.
How much does he take, Alicia?
Well, it took us. He had been doing like the single strain since day one, and he had only been doing like 2 grains of rice, about that amount a day. Now we're up to 1 gram a day.
Does he do that all orally?
All, yeah, I do enteric capsules up.
Okay. And does he do it once a day, twice a day, 3 times a day?
He does about, so we mix it with MCT oil.
Mm-hmm.
And so we break it up into four smaller doses through the day and two, a big one before night and a big one in the middle of the night. So we're going at it like all day long, all night.
Wow. So you guys actually set the alarm and do a dose in the middle of the night?
He wakes up every single night. So he just takes it when he wakes up.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Bathroom break, he'll take it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like the middle of the night one's not necessarily like a certain time. It's just there's going to be a punch in the middle of the night at some point.
Right. So has he built up quite a tolerance to it?
He still gets a little giggly sometimes, but yeah, he's doing good.
Good.
A little giggly. Yeah.
Now, you didn't just go at this with the standard of care and with oil. You also did some dietary things as well, correct?
Yeah, we started off just lowering sugar intake and adding lots of berries and fruit and all natural sugars. Like if I had to cook something with a sugar, I use coconut sugar and try to really maintain like a healthy diet. I usually shop the perimeter of the grocery store. Like that's my main shop is the perimeter. So produce, like fresh sections.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of supplements, and I obsessively started researching everything I could and talking to everybody I could. I'd wake up in the morning at 5 o'clock and just start like looking on the internet and at what I have already and what I can do with it. Like for instance, in my herb garden, I was like, what can I do with these things? And I looked up lemon balm. Mm-hmm. And the benefits of lemon balm are amazing. And for glioblastoma, like I just put like in the search engine, lemon balm for glioblastoma. And like all of these supported documents and studies came up. So I started making tinctures. Like I made a lemon balm tincture. I made organic turmeric and black pepper tincture. And then we're really fortunate here. My grandfather owns a lot of land and we have a lot of chaga. So he's been drinking chaga. Well, even before I met him, he was drinking chaga tea, but now we make it all the time. I just make a big pot of it and can it. And then he drinks that, but I also made like a turmeric. What all is in it? Turmeric, lion's mane, reishi mushroom tincture.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's real. I am enjoying, like, that's kind of my anxiety release, like, from this is, like, doing these new things. And that's my way that I can help him through this, like, learning about this stuff and what they can do. And I'm so intrigued by, like, natural remedies and that stuff. So we're throwing the kitchen sink at it.
Alicia, what would you say for yourself and also for your boyfriend? What would you say has been the hardest part of all of this?
Mental health.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard on the system and like where his tumor is, it affects. It's the upper back portion of the right side of his brain. So it's all sensory information. So it's like touch, vision, memory, hearing, smell, taste, and like emotion. Like it's really hard. Like it's just hard to stay positive, even though he's like, anybody asks and he's like, yeah, the cannabis oil is going to work. This medication is going to work. Like I know it is, but then to really convince yourself that it is, it's hard.
The day-to-day can be difficult.
Yeah. Like, and if you wake up with, like, everything is so scary. Like, you wake up with a little headache and it's panic for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, most people wake up with a headache and they're like, oh, I got a headache. But like, if he wakes up with a headache, it's like, oh God, what do we do? Like, do you need to go to the doctor right now? Like, you don't know at what point do you have to do something about it.
Yeah, is this just a headache, or do we need to seek medical attention? Is this
exactly, something? Yeah.
Alicia, how supportive has Jimmy's family been with respect to the use of cannabis?
Extremely supportive. Everybody is like, with this diagnosis and prognosis, you're like, do what you have to do. Even as an oncologist is like, do what you want to do. Like, try it. Try everything. Like, he never said, go do cannabis oil, because I don't think there's an oncologist out there who's going to tell you that. But yeah, everyone is very supportive. And thank God, because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. So both, like, my family and his family are both like, yes, do it. My family's like, oh yeah, it's gonna work. Like, cannabis is gonna work. I think that my sister and I have most people in my family like thinking, yeah, I'd go for cannabis before standard of care if it ever happened. Like,
yeah. Alicia, what was the oncologist's reaction to this scan that you just had in January with such marked improvement in it?
Well, it's funny because he's really like kind of quiet but hard to read at times. So every time we go in there, it's like the same tone. He's a really nice guy, like same tone. So when we're like, we don't know what to expect. And then we leave and we're kind of like, oh gosh, like, what does that mean? And the scan before this last one that we had, he kind of talked about an area of concern. So we've been like, it's been a month, 2 months we went knowing that there's an area of concern. Mm-hmm. Then go for a scan on December 31st, perfusion MRI, and wait till January 4th to get the results. And we go in and he walks by me. And at that point, Jimmy had like gone to the washroom or something. And I can see under his mask, and he smiles and he says, Happy New Year. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take that as a good sign, even though I have no idea like what this means. So we go into the room and he's like, so I talked to another oncologist who deals with a lot of brain cancer, and he says that this isn't tumor growth and like it appears to be necrosis and all of these other areas are shrinking. Like, overall, everything is good. This is a really good scan.
Ah, that's awesome.
And we like fist bumped in the office and he just kind of looked at us like we're silly. And I'm like, yes. Yeah, it was a good feeling. Because last year, before Christmas, he was told, like, it might be necrosis, and then it wasn't. So even now to say, like, we don't think it's necrosis, it's still a little bit nerve-wracking. But
you have some optimism, though.
We definitely do, yeah. And we're getting on some supplements that are supposed to help get rid of necrosis. Hopefully they work. So it was just a lot of learning for both of us, and research and finding out what passes the blood-brain barrier and how we can get things past the blood-brain barrier. And yeah,
Alicia, the oil that he takes now, how many strains is it?
Sometimes over 21. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Mandy said. Yeah.
I believe he's also taking CBD on the side.
Yep. CBD as well.
Okay. And the CBD he's taking, is that hemp derived or cannabis derived CBD?
I can't even answer that question.
I like to ask the tough ones.
I can find out. I don't know.
Okay.
But the person I get it.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say where we get it from is very trustable source.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that I think it's likely that it's coming from cannabis.
Yes, I think it is, but I don't know for sure, so I don't want to.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to sort of address what you were talking about that tincture that you've made with him for him with the turmeric. Mm-hmm. Just an FYI, that there is some question as to whether or not turmeric/curcumin and cannabis oil vie for the same receptors.
Okay.
and cancel each other out. Certainly there were some submissions on PubMed that indicated that was the case, but okay. they were later rescinded. However, I've certainly observed with patients that I've worked with that added it into their protocol, I've seen people go south really quick. I'm not suggesting not to do it, but what I am suggesting to you is to keep it 2 hours apart from his doses of oil, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Awesome.
Yeah. Alicia, yeah, that's another thing.
There's a couple of things that Jimmy is taking, a couple of supplements, which I thought was interesting. One is vitamin D3, and I've been taking vitamin D3 for years, and there's a fellow I think you should do some, he's on YouTube,
okay.
And he does interviews. His name is Jeff, J-E-F-F, T as in Tom, Bowles, B-O-W-L-E-S. He okay. has researched vitamin D for 35 years, and I was listening to him this morning, and one of the things in the 1920s, people were taking milligram doses of vitamin D, like 25 milligrams, and the hospitals were less populated. And so as a result, they changed the measurement to units, 1,000 units. Mm-hmm. And that sounds more intimidating than 25 milligrams. Anyway, it has enormous benefits because vitamin D3 is not a vitamin. It's actually a hormone.
Yes.
And most people who live in the climate that we live in Canada are deficient in vitamin D, mm-hmm. and many people in the United States, even though in sunny climes, are deficient because we spend a lot more time indoors than we do outdoors. So
yeah.
That's very good. I suggest that you kind of research Jeff Bowles. And
okay.
The other thing is iodine drops, which the level of iodine in North Americans in the last since the 1970s, I believe, has gone down about 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, the list of things that you sent us, I think those are excellent. I think you've done a fantastic job.
Thank you.
You love them, don't you?
I do, yeah.
I can tell because it's what you've done to help him through this is absolutely wonderful. It's really a true love story.
And, it is, yeah.
Yeah. And I think Jimmy's on the right track. Don't you think so, Corey?
Absolutely, yeah. I'd like to have you back on when he's clear. Notice I say when, not if.
No, that's what I said to Corey when we spoke earlier, that I'll make him come on when there's no evidence of disease. He's shy, but we'll get him here when there's no evidence of disease.
Oh, that's great. And also tell him that we, you know, as I mentioned off the top, every person with what he has that we've interviewed is alive today. And some of them yeah. were given very short time periods.
Yep. I've listened to quite a few of the stories, and actually when the regrowth appeared, I had sent stories to his mom, or I'd sent some links of your guys' podcasts to her. So we've all been familiar, and I told her like that you guys had reached out to me, and she's like, no way, that's so cool. So
yeah,
we've been following along.
There's a woman in Oregon, Jessamine Way, we interviewed, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she was given essentially a death sentence by the doctor, and
yeah.
she's alive today, alive and healthy, and there's Lynn Cameron in Scotland, who's now 6 years cancer-free. So I think, you know, with what you're doing with the cannabis, the supplements, and the right mental attitude, you know, in a few months, we'll have Jimmy on.
Yeah, I hope so. And, like, that's another thing that people need to really think about when they're given a prognosis like this, that nobody can give you a death sentence. And you have to decide for yourself what, and well, your loved ones may need to help you, what's going to be best for you. There's always fight, and there's always something you can try. And like I said to Corey, the social media platforms to find out, like I use social media to find a lot of this stuff, and I definitely researched after the fact, like after coming to a conclusion that I wanted to try this, and then I researched studies on it. But to talk to people who have actually gone through the same thing and tried these things, like there's a lot of validation. And it's like, use social media, don't rely on it, like do your research, but use it as a starting point if you have to, and a support system if you need that,
and also the right mental attitude.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, you have to have the right mental attitude, and I think what you're doing is wonderful. It's
Thank
absolutely
you.
Wonderful.
Well, you're throwing the kitchen sink at it, and it's working.
Yeah, we're giving it everything, and we like to say that it's cannabis working or the standard of care, like. At this point, who knows what's actually doing it, if it's doing it together, but we don't care.
We don't care if the end result is that he's in no evidence of disease, right?
Exactly. So we'll do what we got to do to get there, and then we'll maintain it from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alicia, you said that when you were in the oncologist's office a couple of weeks ago, and he said that it was good news, and you gave the fist bump. How did Jimmy react?
I gave the fist pump to Jimmy.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. He is kind of just like nervous going in there, like high anxiety, and kind of just waits till after the appointment and then kind of talk it out. But I think he knew by like our reactions in there, like, okay, it's okay to be happy right now. Like, this is a good thing.
Yeah, I think there will always be when you get the diagnosis that there's no evidence of disease, and they want to do a scan, a yearly scan. I think it's a yearly scan, isn't it, Corey?
Everybody's different. Sometimes they're scanning them, you know, every 6 months, sometimes even more regularly than that in the beginning.
Yeah.
So it dips depending.
And there's always
there's always that scan anxiety.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's awful. It is awful.
Yeah,
but the waiting game.
Yeah, I think you know, you will come out of this ahead, and there will be good news. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Anything
keep
you
us
want?
Posted for sure.
What's that?
I definitely will.
I just said keep us posted for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The mental part of it, is it a bit easier once you got the diagnosis a couple of weeks ago that the tumor is shrinking?
It definitely lifted some weight.
Yeah.
But we're not like, okay, let's go to McDonald's. Like, you know, it's just validated that what we're doing is the right thing.
Jeez,
that you're on the right path, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please don't go to McDonald's.
No.
No. Sorry, McDonald's.
We won't.
Yeah.
No. Not for me.
Alicia, what would you like to say in conclusion to others who would like to use cannabis, are somewhat hesitant about using it, or feel that... you know, because they may live in an illegal state that they can't get the right stuff. What would you say to people who are looking at cannabis as medicine?
I 100% believe that it is an amazing medicine. I've seen it work for many people. Take it slow. And I promote it, definitely.
Take it slow definitely. And watch where you go.
Yeah. Be prepared to sleep because your body needs to sleep to heal. So cannabis makes you tired, go to sleep. But also in the same respect, it's very important to stay active.
Perfect.
As much as you can. But yeah, definitely. If people are thinking about trying it, then I would give them the push to definitely do it.
Great. It was good to talk to you, and we'll talk to Jimmy in a couple of months.
Yeah, hopefully.
Thank you so much, Alicia.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Take good care.
You too.
And in conclusion, we'd like to give a big thank you to our listeners for supporting us and sharing our podcast with others who would benefit from hearing these testimonials about the healing power of cannabis. Those people who have contributed financially to us, we greatly appreciate your financial support, and we thank you very much. As you know, we don't have commercials on Cannabis Health Radio. We have no sponsors. And we'd like to keep it that way. We're listener supported. And if you'd like to support us, there's a few ways you can do it. You can become a monthly supporter for as little as $5 a month on our Patreon page. And you can also make a one-time donation through our website, cannabishealthradio.com. And we're very, very, very grateful for your support. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with another edition of Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
How do cannabis CEOs balance growth and optimization strategies? What is THCO, Delta-10, and CBNA, and why should you care about these minor cannabinoids? And why isn't the endocannabinoid system covered in medical school? Most people think they're up to date in trends in the cannabis industry, but they're about 6 weeks behind. Learn about what is truly next in the cannabis space by joining myself, Brian Fields, and Kellen Finney every week on the Dime Podcast and, of course, on PodConnects.